Hello and welcome to the Mountain Brook Baptist Project 119 Bible Reading Plan Podcast. I'm Mary and it's my pleasure to join you in reading God's Word. Today is Monday, January 24th, and I am reading from the New International Version. Today is also Missions Monday, so we'll look forward to praying for our ministry partner, Family Promise of Birmingham. Today we'll be reading the second part of Genesis chapter 21, Psalm 45, and Mark chapter 10, verses 17 through 31. Beginning with Genesis chapter 21 and verse 22, the title in my Bible says, The Treaty at Beersheba. At that time, Abimelech and Philcol, the commander of his forces, said to Abraham, God is with you in everything you do. Now swear to me here before God that you will not deal with me falsely, or my children, or my descendants. Show to me in the country where you now reside as a foreigner the same kindness I have shown to you. Abraham said, I swear it. Then Abraham complained to Abimelech about a well of water that Abimelech's servants had seized. But Abimelech said, I don't know who has done this. You did not tell me, and I heard about it only today. So Abraham brought sheep and cattle and gave them to Abimelech, and the two men made a treaty. Abraham set apart 7 ewe lambs from the flock, and Abimelech asked Abraham, What is the meaning of these 7 ewe lambs you have set apart by themselves? He replied, Accept these 7 lambs from my hand as a witness that I dug this well. So that place was called Beersheba, because the two men swore an oath there. After the treaty had been made at Beersheba, Abimelech and Philcol, the commander of his forces, returned to the land of the Philistines. Abraham planted a tamarisk tree in Beersheba, and there he called on the name of the Lord, the eternal God. And Abraham stayed in the land of the Philistines for a long time. I noticed here that the account calls the Lord the eternal God, and that got me thinking about all the names of God that we have heard since we've been studying Genesis, and especially since we've been studying the story of Abraham. I just went back quickly and found these different names: God Almighty, or El Shaddai, God who brought me laughter. That's what Sarah said. God who sees. Remember Hagar? He saw her in her distress. The Lord. God Most High. Remember Melchizedek? And that's what he said. The God Most High will bless you. Sovereign Lord. Abraham knows that God is sovereign over all things. And then the Eternal God. Do you remember a couple of days ago when Abraham was pleading on behalf of Sodom, and he says, I know that I am dust and ashes, and I can't believe that I'm going to be bold enough to come before you. But then he goes on to be really bold, and he asks about the people of Sodom and sparing them. And he recognizes that he is created. He is derived from God. But God is not created. He is the uncreated one. He is the creator of all things. He is not derived from another. Jen Wilkin would say it this way: God is self-existent. We are all contingent and derived beings. And if you do not exist, God is not phased. But if God does not exist, we do not exist. Oh Lord, thank you for being eternal. Thank you for creating us. Thank you for the reminders that we are dust and ashes, but in relationship with Jesus our Lord, we can live eternally, and we cling to that promise in light of your scriptures. Okay, let's move over to Psalm 45. For the director of music, to the tune of Lilies of the Sons of Korah, a Maskil, a wedding song. My heart is stirred by a noble theme as I recite my verses for the king. My tongue is the pen of a skillful writer. You are the most excellent of men, and your lips have been anointed with grace, since God has blessed you forever. Gird your sword on your side, you mighty one. Clothe yourself with splendor and majesty. In your majesty, ride forth victoriously in the cause of truth, humility, and justice. Let your right hand achieve awesome deeds. Let your sharp arrows pierce the hearts of the king's enemies. Let the nations fall beneath your feet. Your throne, O God, will last forever and ever. A scepter of justice will be the scepter of your kingdom. You love righteousness and hate wickedness. Therefore, God, your God, has set you above your companions by anointing you with the oil of joy. All your robes are fragrant with myrrh and aloes and cassia. From palaces adorned with ivory, the music of the strings makes you glad. Daughters of kings are among your honored women. At your right hand is the royal bride in gold of Ophir. Listen, daughter, and pay careful attention. Forget your people and your father's house. Let the king be enthralled by your beauty. Honor him, for he is your lord. The city of Tyre will come with a gift. People of wealth will seek your favor. All glorious is the princess within her chamber. Her gown is interwoven with gold. In embroidered garments, she is led to the king. Her virgin companions follow her, those brought to be with her. Led in with joy and gladness, they enter the palace of the king. Your sons will take the place of your fathers. You will make them princes throughout the land. I will perpetuate your memory through all generations. Therefore, the nations will praise you forever and ever. And now let's turn over to the book of Mark. Today we are in Mark chapter 10, verses 17 through 31. The title in my Bible says, "The Rich and the Kingdom of God." As Jesus started on his way, a man ran up to him and fell on his knees before him. "Good teacher," he asked, "what must I do to inherit eternal life?" "Why do you call me good?" Jesus answered. "No one is good except God alone. You know the commandments. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not give false testimony. You shall not defraud. Honor your father and mother." "Teacher," he declared, "all these I have kept since I was a boy." Jesus looked at him and loved him. "One thing you lack," he said. "Go, sell everything you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come, follow me." At this, the man's face fell. He went away sad because he had great wealth. Jesus looked around and said to his disciples, "How hard it is for the rich to enter the kingdom of God." The disciples were amazed at his words, but Jesus said again, "Children, how hard it is to enter the kingdom of God. It is easier for a camel to go through the eye of the needle than for someone who is rich to enter the kingdom of God." The disciples were even more amazed and said to each other, "Who then can be saved?" Jesus looked at them and said, "With man this is impossible, but not with God. All things are possible with God." Then Peter spoke up, "We have left everything to follow you." "Truly I tell you," Jesus replied, "no one who has left home or brothers or sisters or mother or father or children or fields for me and the gospel will fail to receive 100 times as much in this present age. Homes, brothers, sisters, mothers, children, and fields, along with persecutions, and in the age to come, eternal life. But many who are first will be last, and the last first. Thank you for listening along as we read God's word together. What a good reminder here in Mark chapter 10, verse 27. Jesus looked at them and said, "With man this is impossible, but not with God. All things are possible with God." Remember that story in Genesis 18 when Sarah finds out that God has said she will have a son the next year? And she laughs and then she says, "Will I really have a child now that I'm old? Is anything too hard for the Lord?" That's what the Lord says in response. Is anything too hard for the Lord? God is in the business of doing the impossible. He is creator of all things, and He is eternal. As we turn to prayer, we want to pray alongside our friends at Family Promise of Birmingham. Family Promise is an organization that seeks to help those who are homeless to find shelter. I really love this organization because they try to help keep families together. And right now they are re-entering a phase where they are going to house families at different churches. So in the near future, you may see that a family or two is living at our church. They typically live on the fourth floor, and then they come down to Heritage Hall for meals, and the kids play in the gym, and they take their showers in the gym. As they try to find work, they try to find a place to live, and they rebuild their lives. So let's pray alongside Family Promise of Birmingham. Father, thank you for this opportunity to be in your word. Thank you for teaching us that nothing is impossible with you. Please bless our partners in ministry, Family Promise of Birmingham. Please bless their staff and those who are seeking shelter from this organization. Lord, help us to be a blessing to Family Promise and help Family Promise to be a blessing to many people who are in need. We pray all of this in Christ's name. Amen.